Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to apologize up front to our ISU colleagues. I'm going to do my best to go in order on these proposals, but there may be some jumping around, so I apologize to whoever is controlling the screen. So my delegation has made a number of proposals on the first few paragraphs that are purely editorial. We were just trying to increase the readability on paragraphs 32 through 44. So I hope that if any delegation takes issue with those, we're happy to talk about that separately. I don't want to take up any time talking about the placement of commas. So my delegation is comfortable with the language of paragraphs 32 and 33 from the previous review conference. With regard to paragraph 34, we note that there are several delegations that have proposed adding a reference to the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're very supportive of doing so. Our proposal was also to add a reference to other infectious disease outbreaks in order to note that there are a number of other outbreaks and epidemics that the international community has encountered in the last 6 years, including Zika virus and monkeypox. So we wanted to put forward some more inclusive language that would capture the COVID-19 pandemic, but also these other outbreaks. That's also why we've proposed removing the 2014-2015 dates from the reference to the Ebola virus disease outbreaks, as unfortunately there have been additional Ebola virus disease outbreaks since those dates. On the Non-Aligned Movement's proposal to add additional language to paragraph 33, reaffirming that timely assistance is a legal obligation of states' parties, there's already language in paragraph 36 from the previous review conference reaffirming the obligation to provide or support assistance. We think that language clearly articulates states' parties' obligations, and this sentence is duplicative of that. On the Cuban proposal for paragraph 42 bis, we would argue that this is duplicative of other language that already appears under Article 10, so we are not sure that it belongs in this article. On paragraph 47 bis, as proposed by the delegate from Cuba, as well as the NAM proposal for a cooperation mechanism, we agree with our colleague from the UK, we'd prefer more general guiding principles rather than a mechanism. And we'd also note that several of the elements that are listed there have already been established or sound quite similar to other proposals on the table. For example, the proposed data bank or inventory sound very similar to what has been proposed by France and India. So we think that there is probably a way to merge several of these proposals. Regarding the proposal from the Russian Federation in paragraph 47 bis, my delegation has been very clear about this for several years now. We do believe that mobile biomedical units could play an important role in providing assistance in the event of a violation of the convention, but we cannot support language stating that these units should be established and employed under the convention. That is quite vague, but it implies that these units should be under the control of the ISU, and we believe that these must remain under the control of states' parties, they must be financed at the national level, and the decision to use them to provide assistance under Article 7 must be the decision of the state party that possesses them. On the France and India proposal, we are supportive of including a reference here. We could potentially include language referencing mobile biomedical units as one capability or element that could be included in that database. We can't accept the language proposed by the NAM and some other delegations that the lack of a verification protocol has created a gap in the provision of prompt and effective assistance under Article 7. For one thing, as the Eighth Review Conference final document notes, and several states have argued we should reaffirm, the provisions of Article 7 have not been invoked, so we can't argue that there's a gap in the provision of assistance because this actually hasn't been demonstrated yet. And the NAM's proposal of language that the best way to prevent such incidents would be through the establishment of a verification mechanism isn't something that all states' parties necessarily agree with, so we can't support the inclusion of that language. My delegation is not entirely clear on what NAM's fifth proposal about assistance undertakings and support should be commensurate with effective actions that ensure timely coordination and delivery of assistance means. So perhaps we could get some clarification from the non-aligned movement and maybe some reworking of that language to make it a bit clearer. We also note the NAM proposal that activities implementing Article 10, all activities must facilitate assistance and support to states' parties regarding disease outbreaks. We cannot support that language. There are certainly important capacity building activities that can be undertaken under the framework of Article 10 that would also assist state parties in their ability to contribute to international capabilities for response, investigation, and mitigation, but it is not the case that all capacity building efforts must fulfill this goal. There's a wide range of cooperation activities under Article 10, and they don't relate solely to disease outbreaks. We have a number of other comments, but I see that I am out of time. So for now, I will just note, we can't support the proposed language on unilateral coercive measures, nor language that would minimize or undermine the role of the Security Council as it's defined by the convention. But we would support inclusion of the proposal by Panama on relevant data and further research on the impact of age and gender on health, and the adoption of an age, gender, and culturally sensitive approach, as well as the proposals from the Philippines on CBR and risk mitigation centers and tabletop exercises. So I'm happy to share our views on the other proposals if there's time to do so. Thanks very much.